Morning. Today's daf Menachos Nun Dal. We are on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Meir Omer Hasor Bodel Hamitochen Umach Mitzan, and we are starting on the Gemara on the very bottom, commenting on the Mishnah. Mishnah opening Mishnah of the fifth parak of Menachos speaks about the two Menachos that required to have been leavened. Those two menachos are the shtei lechem and the asara chalos that come together with the carbon toda. These are the exceptions to the rule. The rule is that every other mincha cannot be leavened. It has to remain matzah and has to be baked before any leavening takes place. But with these two menachos, so there has to be chametz, there has to be leavening. How do you do the leavening? So the question could be asked in the scientific world, and then the question could also be asked in the halakhic world. So scientifically, how do you do leavening? So usually we have what's called a leavening agent. Nowadays, yeast is popular. Back in the day, yeast was also popular, but the yeast back then was really natural. Although my understanding is that the yeast nowadays also is natural, but the yeast back then was natural, naturally created from old moldy bread. What you did is you take moldy bread, and the mold on the bread was a microorganism, and it caused a leavening agent. And that back in the good old days was basically that little sourdough was stuck into the dough. Those little microorganisms caused the leavening of the dough, and that is how chimutz was done. And by a mincha that requires leavening, by the shei lechem and the carbon toda, and the lechem of the carbon toda, so it's no different. The problem the Mishnah encountered and tried to deal with is the following. You see, when it comes to menachos, so the Torah is very specific about how much flour goes into every mincha. Generally speaking, it's an isaron of flour. That varies by some menachos, but it's an isaron of flour. Whatever the measurement is, it's a measurement. And the problem now becomes the following. So how do I throw in a leavening agent where the leavening agent, the composite of the leavening agent is flour and water? How do I throw that into a mincha that requires leavening, and that's going to upset the measurement, isn't it? So it is going to upset the measurement. So how do you run around that problem? There were two solutions to that in the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. If you look back at the Mishnah, Nun Beis Amud Beis, so I'm going to go over both solutions inside in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer Asor Bodla Mitokan Umechamtsan. So Rabbi Meir says that the Soor is Bodla Mitokan, is taken from the flour, which means as follows. You're going to be putting in the isaron of flour into the measuring cup. You have now a perfect amount. Wonderful. You're then going to take some of that flour out. You're going to mix it together with water. You're going to turn that into a leavening agent, and you're going to put it back in again. And now by doing this process, what you have now created is the leavening agent, the necessary leavening agent for the mincha. And at the same time, you know exactly that you have a full isaron in, because the leavening agent is created from the already measured flour. That's solution number one. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like it in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Hi Eina Min HaMuvchar. It's not the best way to do it. Now, perhaps what bothers Rabbi Yehuda is that by creating a leavening agent right there and then, you're not really giving it enough time for it to mold, to have the leavening agent become a strong leavening agent. And so therefore he didn't like it. What do you do according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afi Yeinam in a Mufchar, Ella, Mavis Asor of Nosel Asoch Amida. Here's what you do. You take an already existing sourdough, one that has been sitting around for a while, and you put it first into the measuring cup of the Isaron. Now remember, that a leavening agent is a composite of flour and water and all the wonderful little microorganisms. And then what you do is you put the flour on top of it. And now you're basically going to use all that in order to create your shear of one isara. Amrulo, and the response to Rav Yehuda's suggestion was, Afi Aisa Chasera, O Yisera. Well, that's not good. Because, and as the Gemara is about to explain, the Gemara is going to make this point really clearly, but I'm just going to say it in the Mishnah. We already said this yesterday. That's not good. Because what the Torah wants from us is a full isaron exactly. And when we say exactly, to the best, obviously, of our human capability, but exactly a full isaron. If what you're going to do is you're going to first put in the sourdough, that sourdough is not just flour. That sourdough is flour and water. So perhaps and probably the density of that is not reflective of just flour by itself. And so when I put the sourdough in and I throw in the flour on top of it, so what I'm going to have is an imperfect isaron. It's going to be maybe a little bit less, a little bit more, depending on the density of that sourdough. And so they say to Rabbi Yehuda, well, you may have solved the problem. The leavening agent may be a better leavening agent, but now the problem becomes is that we don't have an exact isaron because you were insistent on taking an old sourdough and putting it on the bottom of the kli.
Both cases will be a problem.
Meaning?
Both cases create a problem where you have flour and water. Yeah, sure, it came originally from the original flour. Yeah.
Right, right.
But you still, it's changed. Why?
No, because according to Rameir?
Yeah, the second opinion is incorrect according... Right, the second opinion we just read.
The second opinion is Rabbi Yehuda.
So what's the difference? With the first opinion, you also have an objection.
No. In terms of a shear, for a mayor, he solved the shear problem. Because in terms of shear, all the flour was put in, and then in terms of the creation of the sourdough, some of the flour was taken out to create sourdough. But I know that whatever sourdough I created is created from the measurement that was already measured. So no more or less flour is in that kli. So Rav Meir solved for the shear problem, but his leavening agent is not as strong. Rav Yehuda solved for the leavening agent problem, but now the shear is imprecise. So, in other words, each one is giving a little, I mean this pun intended, each one is giving a little and taking a little, right? There's an imperfection in both of their positions. Okay, on that, the Gemara now, basically what I just said, on that, the Gemara says, "My chaser o yisera." So what does that mean? Chaser yisera. What was the objection to Rabbi Yehuda? So Amar Chista Isa Sasor Ava Nimtzis Yisera Midas Yisaron Racha Nimtzis Chasera. So Amar Chista says exactly what we just said. Well, it really depends on the sourdough. If the sourdough is good and thick, so that means to say that the density, the flour density content in there is really a lot. So then you have too much flour. And if the sourdough is racha, literally soft. So in other words, you made a sourdough by adding a lot of water. So that means to say now that the density is that the flour is not like is not going to be as dense as the regular flour, and therefore what you have is less flour than necessary. Sof kikayo liyisaron kakayo. So the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, when you fill up the measuring cup, aren't you? Isn't it coming to the perfect point? So, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dar Matavayo lechemosh shehin aisa maas misha arinan. So, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef are of the opinion. Well, lechemosh shehin aisa misha arinan. No, we want the measuring to be prior to adding the sourdough in, not after the sourdough going in. Velishko portamine velichmatzei meyivrai velaisa v'nilosha ba'adei. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we take a little bit of the flour out? Why don't we leaven it outside of the cup and then go ahead and mix it together in there? So the Gemara says, Gzera demasi li suya ma'ama. Because once we start taking flour back out and putting it back in again, so then the Chacham we're concerned with is that once we're adding to it, so what we're going to be adding is not just its own internal leavening, but we might be adding other leavening as well, other sourdough as well. So to which the Gemara says that would not be an effective solution. Okay, so machlokas of the Mishnah between Ramei and Rav Yehuda, vis-a-vis how exactly to leaven the two leavening menachos. Two menachos require leavening, require chimutz. How exactly is it done? Ramei says you're going to be doing it with the flour that's there already, that was already measured. And according to Rav Yehuda, no, you first put a sourdough in, and then you put the flour on top of it. And again, the objection to Rav Yehuda is you're now going to have an imperfect measurement of the isaron of the mincha. Tan Rabbanan, we start with the braisa. We're on the very bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Ein machmitzin betapuchim. In terms of chimitz, in terms of creating a sourdough. So a sourdough can be created by flour and water. But back in the day, so they used to create their sourdough not just by flour and water, but by flour and other types of liquids and apple juice. Apple juice was popular in terms of creating sourdough. So I don't know or understand well enough the chemical construct of apple juice and why it would be better or just as good making a yeast. But what the sugar probably right? So they used to use apple juice and flour in order to create their sourdough. So, Can that create chametz? Now, let's all listen carefully to what the Gemara is basically addressing. And that is that we know that we want leavening, meaning, right, and let's always keep in mind, when we're talking about chametz, we're talking about vis-a-vis a mincha, we could also be talking about it vis-a-vis Pesach, but they are separate. In other words, the iser of chametz on Pesach is not the same iser as chametz as it relates to a mincha. Okay, but nevertheless, though, the two are going to cross often, as they will, as we're going to see in just a moment. Ein machmitz betapuchim. So, according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, so one is not allowed to do that. Why is one not allowed to do that? Rashi on the very bottom of the Amud writes, L'shtei alechem v'todah betapuchim d'lo havi chametz malia. So the way Rashi writes it is, it's not good chametz. Meaning, remember, right now, what we want is chametz. We're talking about the shtei alechem and the lechem v'todah. We want chametz. So the way the Rashi understands the Tanakhama's viewpoint, using some other liquid other than water, apple juice as an example, so it is going to create chametz, but inferior chametz. You're going to hear the term today, and you're going to hear it very often in Pesachim, and that's the term of chametz nuksha. Chametz nuksha means that it's chametz, but it's of an inferior nature and inferior quality. We touched on the idea of chametz nuksha yesterday in the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda when we're talking about see yesterday's daf for a review of that point. But anything which is chametz, but not good chametz, meaning but of an inferior chametz, it did rise, but not well. So that's what's called an halacha chametz nuksha. And the way Rashi is understanding the Tanakhama, that's what's going to be produced every time with apple juice. Apple juice will create a fermentation, but fermentation, not great fermentation, some fermentation. And so as a result of that, it's not chametz gamor, it's not good chametz, and so therefore it's inferior. Rabbi Chanina, we're back in the Gemara, on the top of Nadal Medalef. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Amru Machmitzim. And Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, it's good. It's good. It creates good chametz. The Rav Kahana, Masnila Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. And Rav Kahana just makes a small editing note, and that is that the author, whoever's saying over the Braisa, needs to change the name from Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel to Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. In either event, in either way. So we have a machlokas amongst the Tanaim whether apple juice is going to be serving as a good leavening agent or as an inferior leavening agent or as a good leavening agent. So your two positions over here in our Gemara is that if I take flour and apple juice, and again, I say apple juice, I could be talking about any type of rich liquid other than water. So if I take flour and apple juice, is it going to create chametz? Tanakhama, inferior chametz. According to Rabbi Chananya ben, depending on whose gears you go with, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel or Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon, it'll make really good chametz. Okay. And before we go on in the Gemara, so it leads us to the following question. Now let's go over to the world of Pesach. So on Pesach, we don't want chametz, meaning chametz on Pesach is aser. So anything that's leavened on chametz is prohibited for us to eat. It's an iser kares.
Inferior or not?
Right, and Danny points out correctly. Right, and when it comes to Pesach, it could be inferior, could not be inferior, and it would still be a problem. It's just a question of whether it's an issur d'oraisa, chametz nuksha, still going to be asur midrabanan. Perhaps chametz nuksha may be asur d'oraisa. Again, that may be related to our discussion of yesterday. But certainly, as Danny points out correctly, we're not allowed to eat any kind of chametz, both the good chametz or even the inferior chametz. And the problem there lies now in that the Gemara in Pesachim seems to indicate that if I take a flour and not water, if I take flour and knead it together with any kind of fruit juice, so the Gemara in Pesachim seems to indicate that it's not chametz at all. Not min haTorah, not midrabanan, it's not chametz at all. And to that, obviously the Rishonim are bothered, because our Gemara seems to be at odds with the Gemara in Pesachim. And if you take a look at Tosfos, which starts on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis and goes well into Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, so Tosfos tackles this problem. And very briefly, I'm just going to quote the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which is accepted la halacha. And he writes, Omefarish Rabbeinu Tam. On Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, it's about 7-8 lines down from the top of the Tosfos. Omefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Dechishin no losha be meipers befne atzmam, So Rabbeinu Tam, in addressing this question, gives the following answer. If it is flour and apple juice to the exclusion of water, it's just apple juice. So, or and I say apple juice, by the way, I mean any liquid other than water, right? Meperos, and the liquid of any fruit. So if it is flour and meperos, just meperos and no water, so Rabbeinu Tam says no chametz at all. It doesn't produce any kind of leavening, and so therefore it's not chametz at all. Aval ki ikamayim ba'adayu machmitzin. However, if it is flour and meperos and water, so then it will become chametz. Our Gemara is talking about where it's flour, it's meperos and mayim. Under those circumstances, it will become chametz. And so this is Rabbeinu Tam's way of addressing the question. If we are understanding Rabbeinu Tam well, what that means now is that if I take flour and just meperos, and I make something out of that, crackers, matzah, whatever you want to call it, and I make something out of that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's not chametz. And therefore, on Pesach, one would be allowed to eat it. If, however, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I took flour and made peros and water, so that will become chametz. Only a question of degree. Is it chametz nuksha? Is it inferior chametz? Or is it chametz malia? Is it good chametz? But it certainly will be chametz. That is Rabbeinu Tam's approach. This brings us to, I'll just touch on it quickly. It brings us to egg matzahs. Egg matzahs on Pesach. So are we allowed to eat egg matzahs on Pesach? It is exactly this discussion. Meaning, if it's just flour and eggs and no water, so according to Rabbi Natam, it's not chametz, meaning one would be allowed to eat it. Certainly you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night. On the Seder night, we need lechemoni. We need poor man's bread. Poor man's bread is flour and water. So certainly we won't be able to fulfill our mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night. But for the rest of Pesach, so Rabbi Natam would say, enjoy it. One would be allowed to eat egg matzah. The problem is that not Rabbeinu Tam's position is not universally accepted. And the resolution between our Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim can be resolved in other manners. And so the Ramah takes the position in the Shulchan Aruch that the Ashkenazim should try to be machmer and not eat egg matzah. If you're sick, if you're old, so the Ramah says, so you could rely on this position of Rabbeinu Tam. But the Ramah says that it should not be, lichat chila should not be a position that's endorsed.
Less than 18 minutes, it should be okay, no?
There's another discussion in that if you do take the position that it does become chametz, it may become chametz at a different rate than just water. But okay, that's the next step. You're advancing. It's good. You're advancing the issue, but that's the next discussion. We're back in our Gemara. Keman Azla. We are in Nundala Med Aleph. We are three lines down. Keman Azla Hadidnan. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shumas teaches us the following: Tapuch Shavisku V'Nasta B'Socheisa V'Chem Tsa. So let's say I take a crushed apple. Okay, and again, just make it nice and simple. Let's say we take apple juice. The apples were truma apples. The apple juice now, of course, is truma, and I put it into a dough, and it causes the dough to rise. Hareze Asura. So now it is Asur. This Mishnah in Truma is teaching us the following, that if I have apple juice which is causing leavening of a dough, the dough is obviously non-Truma, so that non-Truma dough now is going to have Truma status. Now, this is not an issue of taste, meaning we don't taste the leavening, but this is an issue of what's called a Davar Hamamid. When I have one item that's giving life to another item, it's basically causing it to exist. So that was the halacha views it as if it is in the item itself. When the leavening agent is causing life to the dough, causing the dough to rise, so that now means that that leavening agent, if it's asr, the whole dough becomes asr. This is a davar hamamid. So over here, the apple juice put into the dough causes it to rise, and therefore that dough now is going to be asr. Asr, of course, meaning to non-kohanim, because the whole dough is considered truma dough. Keman lema Rabbi Chanina ben Gamlilhi v'lo Rabbanan. Now, presumably, it goes like the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamlil or Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, because over here, what we just learned together is that the dough is mamish chametz, and mamish chametz, that's Rabbi Chanina's position. The Tanakhama says that apple juice mixed in together with flour creates chametz. Okay, that's the term of the day. So, right, inferior chametz, but in other words, but it's not chametz gamor. But Rabbi Chanina says it creates mamish chametz. And so therefore it would seem to be that this is going like Rabbi Chanan and Chajan. So Afilu Tamer Rabban, the Gemara says you don't have to say that. Because Nehida Chametz Gamar lo have nukshami have. But the Gemara says, look, it's not the best chametz, it's not chametz gamar, but it is still chametz. Albeit it's inferior, but it's still chametz. And so therefore it's a davar hamamid, and that's why the dough is going to be elsewhere. The mission shumas could be going like the Tanakama. Amar Abilai en lecham hakasha lekmitza yoser mimenchas chote. Going back to our kmitza, you know what's really hard to do? The kmitza that's done for the minchas achote. Minchas achote has no oil. So that means to say that, as we learned in yesterday's daf, there is water that's going to go into every mincha, meaning it's flour, oil, and water. But when it comes to the minchas chote, it's just flour. There's no oil. And right now we're thinking that this is before the water is introduced. And now you're doing a kmitza on just flour, the particles of flour. So in other words, the Kohen's going to put his hand into granules of flour, pick it up, and granules are going to be falling out of his fist, understandably. There's nothing that is adhesion that's keeping it all together. So Rav Yitzchak bar Avdima Amar Minchas Chote Megavla B'mayim Ukshera. And Rav Yitzchak bar Avdima says, well, what's so difficult? Why don't you first put in water? In other words, put in water, make a dough out of it, and now let the Kohen do the kmitza. And so what we seem to have over here, not seem, what we have over here is a machlokas as to whether or not by minchas chote, meaning a standard mincha that has oil in it, so you're going to be adding the oil together with the flour, mixing it together, so doing kmitza is not a big deal, because it's bound together. And so therefore when the Kohen puts his hand in, he's going to get a kmitza that's going to hold together nicely. But by the minchas chote, we have now a machlokas on marayim, whether or not the kmitza is done before or after the water is introduced. So the first opinion is that it's done before the water is introduced. Kmitza now is going to be really difficult because particles of flour are just falling all over the place. Whereas according to the second opinion, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, no, you put the water in and then you do kmitza. Are we having a machlokas over here? Seemingly. Lema b'hakim iflagi. Mar sevel k'moshehin misharinan. Mar sevel k'moshehin misharinan. So the Gemara says, seemingly what we have over here is the following machlokas. Look, you have to do kmitza. Kmitza is a measurement. When we're talking about the measurement, do we look at it as kemos shehu, as is? Kemos shehu meaning as it is right now. Rashi, Rav Yitzchak sever kemos shehu, achshav misharinan lekometz, havle kometz malya. So according to Rav Avdimi, so what we're doing is according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, in terms of following a measurement, we want the as-is measurement, the one that's right now. It's flour and water, that now becomes the measurement. When you put your hand in and you're taking it out, it's not just flour, it's flour and water, but that's fine. And according to Rav Ilah, he's of the opinion, I'm continuing in Rashi. Rav Ilah, Savar l'chamo shehen, ki ilo hayakemech misharinan, v'nimtze yeser chaser. And Rav Ilah is basically arguing like this. It's the same argument we had back in the Mishnah. Is that if what I'm doing is I'm introducing the water and then doing the kmitza, the density now changes. And it could be that it is more dense, it could be that it's less dense, but the density now changes. And when the Kohen's doing his kmitza, it could very well be that it's not the proper shear, because the flour mixed together with the water now is operating on a different density, and it could be that he's taking too much flour in the hand if the density is greater. It could be that he's taking too little flour in his hand if the density is less. And so therefore, what Rav Ilah wants is kamo shehein, meaning I want the measurement to be as it was, as just flour by itself. And so therefore, that's why you can't add water, because by doing so, you're changing the density, and you're not taking a proper shear kmitza when doing the kmitza.
Why there's no concern about having chametz pouring chametz in classes?
This is not a chametz issue.
No, but the synthetic kmitza, you want to put it on the mizbeach, so you cannot put chametz on the mizbeach. It can become chametz.
It'll be put on the mizbeach in just a moment. It'll go up soon. All right, Tanan Hassam. And so, this is now going to segue into the rest of today's daf. And the rest of today's daf, we are going to now have a very conceptual discussion, wonderfully analytical in terms of when taking measurements of an item. So sometimes items expand, sometimes they contract. And when looking at a measurement, are we looking at the as-is measurement as it is right now? Or do we look at its original size? And we're going to be discussing it in both directions. We're going to be talking about expanding and contraction. And so this is going to be the rest of today's daf. We start together with a Mishnah Uksan. Tanan Hasan. Basar ha'egel shenitbach. Ubasar zekene shenitzma'ech. Now, don't ask me because I'm not on the farm. But generally speaking, the Mishnah Uksan operates with the following assumption. And that is that if I have the meat of a young calf, so the meat of a young calf tends to expand. Its nature is that it will. In other words, after shechted, and you have the piece of meat, but still, the very young piece of meat, the very tender piece of meat, would tend to expand. On the other hand, the meat of an older animal tends to contract. And the Mishnah over here deals with the following. Basar egel shenitbach. So let's say I have calf meat, which is starting to expand. Or basar zekene shenitzma'ech, or meat of a older animal that contracts. Mishnah arinan lechamos shehen. So the Mishnah gives now very clear instructions of how to measure lechamos shehen, as they are. But the truth of the matter is, I say the Mishnah is really clear, not super clear, because lechamos shehen could be understood of one in two ways. As it is right now, or as it was. What's the better understanding of the Mishnah in Uksin? What's the more correct understanding of the Mishnah in Uksin? It's a machlokas. Rav v'Rav Chia v'Rav Yochanan Amrei. Three Amoraim pooled together all of the opinion Mishtarin and Kemoshein. The correct way to measure it is its current volume. Current volume will dictate its measurement. Shmuel v'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi v'Reish Lakish Amrei Mishtarin l'Chamos Shehein. Or as the Bach adds, not adds but edits, not l'Chamos Shehein but l'Chamos Shehayu. But it's the same point. These Amoraim of Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, and Reish Lakish are all of the opinion that you don't measure it as it is right now, but as it was. Meaning, the way it was originally is the measurement. I expanded a little bit, it contracted a little bit, but in terms of its measuring, we're going to be looking at it as it was. And so over here, what we have amongst the Amoraim, right? Three on three. What we have amongst the Amoraim is a really basic machlokas in terms of how to look at expansion or contraction of the volume of a food. Do we look at it as it was or as it is? Meisve, the Gemara now is going to be dealing with this topic for the rest of the daf today. Basar ha'egel shelo haya bakashir. Let's say I have the meat of lamb, right, veal, right, the meat of a calf. And it wasn't the requisite size. Now, when we talk about requisite size, it really depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about tumah, the requisite shear is a beitza, the volume of an egg. If we're talking about achila, like pigel and nosar, the shear is a kezias. Whatever the shear is, the point is there is a volume. There is a quantitative measurement. So, ego shalaya bakashir v'tafach v'amad al-kashir. So let's say I had calf meat, which was not the requisite amount, and then it expanded. Tahor l'sha'avar. Vitame mikan ulahaba. So, historically, it's tahor, because historically, it was less than the shear. But now that it expanded, it is going to be tame from this point going forward. This Mishnah, or Brisa, seems to be really clearly of the position we work with as is. Not as was, but rather as is. So, this now would be very good if you took that position, which were the first three Amoraim. But the second three Amoraim are obviously going to have a problem with this. Their response, midrabanan. When the Mishnah says that it is now Tameh, it means only on a Durabanan level. But the Gemara says, really, why don't we consider now the next part, the next sequence of this Braisa? V'chein bepigol, v'chein benosar. Not only is this halacha that of as is going to be applied to Tumah, it's also going to apply to pigol and nosar, which are Isurei Da'araisa, Pigel. If the Kohen has a Machshava, Chutzos Mano, regarding, or Chutzom Kamo, regarding a carbon, so now the resulting carbon now is carbon Pigel. If the animal is Shechted, which it was, and now consumed by somebody, so that consumer of the animal, which is Pigel, is subject to Kares, but only when he eats a Kazayis. Same thing by Nosar. Now, it's not the same case, but same result, in that it would be a chiyuv kares. Nosar, meat of a carbon that's left over beyond a lot of time, if somebody were to eat a kazayis of that meat, that would be an iser kares. So, we're talking now about, it's calf meat, which was either mifugal or Nosar. So under those circumstances, if you did not have the requisite shear, but it expanded now to get to the point of requisite shear, so then you one would be liable of either pickle or nosar. Now, Iyamar Bishlam Adaraisa Hainudika pickle or nosar. Now, the Gemara says, are we talking about a Durabana level? Mm-hmm. Unlikely. In other words, we're talking about pickle or nosar. Those are Isure Daraisa. Tuma, we talk about Tuma on a Durabana level all the time. In other words, the rabbi slapped a din Durabanan, a Tuma Durabanan often. But the idea of pickle or nosar, it is either pickle or nosar in a Torah, or it's not. Now, certainly if it's less than a shear, still we're not allowed to eat it. That's what's called chatzi shear. Chatzi shear asur min haTorah. But the Mishnah labeling it pickle and nosar sounds very clearly from the Mishnah, or I should say better, Braisa. It would make much more sense to suggest that pickle and nosar is operating on a Raisa level. And so once again now, it sounds like this is not a as it was discussion, but as it currently is discussion. As it is currently constituted, it is now above the shear, and the person that eats it is going to be subject to pickle nosar. Ela'i amar derabanan, pickle venosar bederabanan mi'ika. You want to tell me that this is just a din derabanan? We don't have pickle venosar on a rabbinic level. Ema v'chein betumas pickle, v'chein betumas nosar. So what the Gemara now suggests is as follows. We're still talking about tuma. Tuma of pickle and tuma of nosar? The answer is yes. Yes and yes. Meaning, what the Chachamim wanted to do is they wanted everyone to stay away from pickle and nosar. Now, the fact that it's asur and the fact that someone who consumes it is going to be subject to the kares penalty, you would think that would be enough of a preventative measure where people would stay away from it. Interestingly, what the rabbis had to do is they had to attach tumah to it as well. Rabbinic tumah, obviously, but they had to attach tumah to it as well so that people would stay away from it. Not really sure. I mean, you have to really understand the mindset of people. In other words, pickle nosa by itself, I'm still ready to give it a try. Tuma, oh no. Now we're staying away. Okay, I'm admitting, I don't fully understand why the Chachamim, why that really caused more richuk, but it did. And so the Chachamim slapped a din tuma on pickle and on nosa. And so now what the Gemara is suggesting, in defense of the Amorayim, is that no. Min haTorah, if it expanded, doesn't matter. Meaning we work with the shear as it was, not as it is. But in terms of what's going to change, there will now be a din tuma midrabanan once it gets to the size of a shear. And why would I have thought differently? Meaning, look, the idea that there is a tuma that is slapped on to pickle and osa, that's a din derabanan. Now think about it, because over here it's not just a din derabanan, it's not a regular din derabanan, but a din derabanan only because now it expanded in size. So to begin with, the tumah is a tumah derabanan. And now that it expanded in size, you're going to slap another din tumah derabanan on it?
Isn't that double gzera?
And isn't that a double gzera? That's all falling into the Gemara's question. And kamash malan. And the chiddush now is? No. In other words, the chachamim were ready to do that.
Distinction between weight and volume.
Right.
So expanding could be volume, but the kazayas is still...
We're talking about the shear of kazayas and kibetza, we're focusing on volume.
But it is in volume. Okay.
In volume. Okay. Tashma. Okay, and so now that was round one. So, the very fundamental question that we're dealing with this morning is when we're looking at the shear of something that either expanded or contracted, do I look at it as it's currently constituted? Or do we go back and say what it was originally? And so it's a 3-on-3 in terms of the Amoraim who are arguing this issue. And so therefore we went through round one, we quoted a Braisa. It certainly seems to suggest that we look at it in its current state and not as it was, but the Gemara defended the other side. Continuing. Tashma. Basu zekenish ayah bo kishir. Let's have meat of an old animal, and as we already learned earlier this morning. So the meat of an old animal tends to shrink and contract. Vitzamek. And in fact, it does exactly that. In Hebrew, it's simukim or raisins. Right? It's a great way to remember. So, Jayabokishir vitzamek. Pachos mechashir. And it contracted now to where it's less than the shear. Tame l'sha'avar v'tar mikana l'haba. So now, historically, was it tame? Yeah, because it had the shear. Again, the shear for tumas ochlim is a kabeitza. So it had the shear, but now it doesn't. So the Braisa says, and again, the Braisa is really clear. The Braisa says that it was tame, but it's not anymore. So that sounds, once again, like we work with as it was, and not as its current, and not as, sorry. Right, sorry, other way around. So that it now would seem to clearly indicate that we work with current status and not as it was. Amar Rabba Kohecha de Mikara Havabei. So now Rabba comes in and Rabba is going to have us rethink this entire discussion. Amar Rabba. Now, the truth of the matter is that this answer of Rabba, I'm going to work with Rashi's understanding of it. Not everyone's in agreement with Rashi, but I'm going to work with Rashi's understanding. Amar Rabba. Kohecha de Mikara Hayaba. Let's say it originally did have the shear. V'hashta leisba, but now it does not have the shear. Ha-leisba. So what else can we say? It doesn't currently have the shear. And v'chol, and as Rashi goes on to explain, and everybody would be in agreement that if in its current constitution it doesn't have the shear, well, it doesn't have the shear. Fine. And v'chol echadim ikar lo havaba, v'hashta havaba. And if, let's say, it didn't have the shear and then it expanded, so midrabanan, it will, in fact, be tamei, albeit on a rabbinic level, but it will be, in fact, tamei. And no one debates that as well. So basically, what Rabban now is doing is, he's telling us that in a circumstance where it went only in one direction, so we have agreement amongst all the Amoraim, and there are six of them, but amongst all the Amoraim, we have agreement. Okay, ki pligi. There is a point of debate between them as we now turn to the top of Nandam and Beis, and that is Kagon, Shahaya Bo Kashir, Vitsamek, Vichazer Vitapach. So the only debate that exists between the Amoraim is the following scenario. It went from having the shear to not having the shear to going ahead and having the shear. So it had the requisite shear, it shrunk, and then it comes back to having the requisite shear. Mar Savar Yesh Dichui B'Yisara, Mar Savar Ein Dichui B'Yisara. And now we get on to the topic of dichui in a way that we have not explored. I don't know if there's another place in Shas that explores dichui in this way that we're going to be discussing today. We talk about dichui as it relates to karbanos, right? Karbanos can be pushed off, disqualified. And once a karban gets dequeued, so then even if the reason of disqualification is gone, so we have that discussion of dichui, whether the karban can be reinstated. We have dichui as it relates to mitzvos. The Gemara in Sukkah, the third parak, had a discussion of whether or not by a mitzvah, if a mitzvah can be pushed off, right, by hadasim. The Gemara over there had that discussion. Here, we're talking about dichui of isurim. Really interesting application of the concept of dichui. Where I had an isur, the isur went away, can the isur come back again? And so over here, in our discussion, makes perfect sense. Meaning, there was a shear, it had the requisite amount, then it shriveled. Let's say it got dehydrated, and then it got rehydrated. So now it had the shear, it went below the shear, and now came back to having the shear again. So that means that historically it was there, and there was a point in time where the isser was gone, but now it got rehydrated, and now it gets to the shear. So do we say now that the isser can come back? That's the discussion. It is, no, the dichui of an isser. Okay. So yesh dichui b'isura, umar sover ein dichui b'isura. So umi ikalaman da'am adiyesh dichui b'isurin. The Gemara says, really? In other words, does that such a concept exist for Atanan? Let's take a look together at a Mishnah in Taharos. This is a Mishnah. I could say that correctly. So the Mishnah says kibetz ochlin sheinicha b'chama. So let's say I have the volume of an egg of something which is of a food that was placed out in the sun v'nisma atu, and obviously it dehydrates and now it becomes less than a shear. The chen kizayis min ames, kizayis min anavela, uche adashim min asheretz, uche zayis pigel, uche zayis nosa, uche zayis chelav. Or I have shear of any of the above. Now, included in the above is a kizayis of human remains, which gives off tumas mace, or kizayis of nevela, tumas nevela, or the volume of a lentil of sheretz, or kizayis of pigel, or kizayis of nosa, or kizayis of chelav, in all these cases. So, if I put it out in the sun, and it dries and dehydrates and gets now less to the volume of the shear. So the Mishnah tells us tahorin. So in all these cases, it's tahor. And it's not subject to neither pickle nose nor chalef. So far, so good. But wait 1 second. The Mishnah goes on. Let's say now we put it out in the rain, and the rain rehydrates it, reconstitutes it now to get to the shear. Tameim v'chayav mishum pigel nos v'tame. I'm sorry, that was me going on autopilot. And v'chayavin mishum pigel v'nosar v'chelav. And one is going to be subject to all these chiyuvim. What we just learned together, I mean, the Mishnah in Taharos could not have been any clearer, is that it was a shear, got dehydrated, so now the volume is less than a shear, got rehydrated, now it's the shear again, and the Mishnah says it's subject to all the tumah and all the Yisurim that it was at the point where it was originally. And so, tiyufta, lamandami, yeshtichu b'yisurim, tiyufta. And the Gemara says, basically, checkmate. Meaning, it's very clear from this Mishnah Taharos that there is no dichui. Right? There's no dichui.
The Isser was double.
The Isser was pushed away, and then what happened? It came back.
Right.
Oh, right. Correct. So it is a... I know, the Gemara was a little bit confusing because the Gemara says it is a tiyufta for the position of yesh dichui, right, which means that we took that position and we...
What about a reversible dichui?
Right. Okay.
That's what it is, right?
I think of reverse mortgages, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. So anyway, that's where we land on the issue. The Gemara basically says, look, it's to, in other words, and this really then challenges really Rabba's assertion, because Rabba wanted to share with us that the entire machlokas that existed amongst the six Amorayim, right, the three against three, was all about dichui. But then the Gemara points out, but if that's the way the machlokas is described, is explained, that it's all about dichui, the Mishnah Torah says very clearly, if it started the shear, again, less of the shear, then comes back to the shear again, so the Mishnah says the Isser will, in fact, come back. So there is no dichui as it relates to Isserim. And so what do you do now with Rabba's answer? So that's challenging. Meaning, and it's funny, the Gemara doesn't raise that issue. The Gemara doesn't say, and now what's Rabba going to say? I don't know. It's really difficult. Okay, Tanan, let's go a little bit further for this morning. Sorry, Tashma. Termin te'enim al hagrogeres b'minyan. Okay. We are now talking about Trumas and Maisos, and once again, but the issue hasn't changed. Meaning it's today's topic. Today's topic is or as was. Okay? A nice succinct way to describe today's daf in Menachos. Daf Nandal Menachos, as is or as was. So, we are talking now about figs, dried figs and fresh figs. Okay, the grogers are the dried figs and te'ina are the fresh figs. Okay, and we know. In other words, when it comes to dried fruit, so they're dehydrated. So they're a shrivel, they're a shell of themselves. I mean that almost literally. So for the rest of today's daf, it's really easy to process in terms of these fruit being a shell of themselves. The assumption of the Gemara will be that it basically is a 2-to-1 ratio, meaning that in its fresh state where it's full and plump and juicy, so it is twice as large as when it gets dried up. Good. That's the ratio that the Gemara is dealing with. And now what do you want to do? So I'm on the farm, I'm growing my figs, and I want to take off Trumas and Maisros. So now I know the word in the Mishnah over here is the word that's used is Torman. And that would give all of us the impression that we're talking about Truma. So I'll tell you what. Right now, if we could just ignore the word Torman for just a moment, because it only will make you think that we're talking about Truma. Not necessarily, and I know that's weird. But we want to take off Trumas and Maisros. Taking off Trumas and Maisros, how much do we take off? We all know. We've gone through this many times before. So in terms of Truma, so how much is the Shir Minatara? Any amount. How much did the Chachamim mandate that we should give to the Kohanim? 2%, give or take. There's flexibility in that 2%. That 2% is a recommendation. You can go over, you can go under. Fine. Then what you do is you take off Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is given to the Levim. How much do you take off for Maaser Rishon? 10%. interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim. 10% of the original or 10% of the remainder. Okay, but not for now. The Rishonim debate that issue. Then you take off Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending on the year. And for today, we don't have to worry about Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. Once the Maaser Rishon is given over to the Levim, what does the Levi do? He takes 10% and he gives it to the Kohen. That's what's called Trumas Maaser. Okay, that's all. That's all the information we need to know to get to walk into the following discussion. I just harvested my figs. Some of them are fresh. Some of them are now have been dried. And I want to take off Trumas and Maaseros. Now, how do I take off Trumas and Maaseros? And so, I can take off Trumas and Maaseros, and I'm not saying what we are allowed to do, I'm just going over the options. I can do it by count. Okay? In other words, if I have 100, and for this discussion, right now, let's assume we're talking about Maaser Rishon. I know the Mishnah says the word Tormin, but...
Is it an option?
Well, hold on a second. So let's say I have 100 figs, so I could do it by count. In other words, I'll give 10 over to the Levium as Maaser, Rishon, and I'll keep the 90. I could do it by volume. So by volume, obviously, I have to now actually weigh the volume of, I say weigh,
measure
the volume, that's better, thank you. So measure the volume of all the figs. Or I could do it by weight, and then I'd have to weigh. So what's the correct way to do it? I'm happy you asked. So tormenteinim ala grogor is b'minyan. So the Mishnah says that if we're going to do it, we're going to do it by minyan. And if we're going now and taking te'inim and taking that as our meiser against the grogoris, we're going to do it by count. Now, if we're doing it by count, we're going to be having very happy levim, because I'm giving him the plump figs and I'm keeping for myself the dried figs. He's obviously getting a lot more than 10% if we're looking at it as volume. If we're looking at it just simply as count, so he's getting 10 out of 100. But if we're looking at a volume, he's getting a lot more than 10%. In fact, we can say it. He's getting 20%. In other words, assuming that it's two times larger. So, Iyamar Bishlam Alechamosh Shehein Misharinan Shaper. Now, if the way we look at measurements is not as they are, but as they were, so then I understand everything's great. Meaning, everything was at one point in time plump figs, and so therefore, if we're doing it by count, so the fact that some of them are now dried, that's fine. In other words, because the measurement is not based on how they are, but how they were. But Eli Amar Kemosha Hain Hu Havalei Marbe Mamasros. But if we're looking at it as they are right now, we have a serious problem, because now I'm not giving 10% over to the Levium. I'm giving a lot more, and you'll say to me, "Okay, good. That means I'm generous." Yes, I'm generous, but no, it's not good. Because Hatanana or Vitanya went into Nebraisa, Hamrabi Mamasros, Perasab, Misukanim, Mamasros, and Mukukalim. If you give over 10% Maaser, that's not good. Why is that not good? As far as the remaining 90%, or let's say like this, okay? Dried figs, leave that out of the discussion for now. Let's say I have 100 and I give 20% over to the Levium. Of the remaining 80%, has that been corrected? Sure. Of the 20% now that I gave to the Levi, we have a problem. Because 10% of that is Maaser Rishon. The other 10% is not Maaser Rishon. In other words, the Torah is very specific when giving Matnos Levium, that you give to the Levi 10% and only 10%. So it's not Maaser Rishon, that second 10%. And it's also not yours, meaning it's not corrected produce. So what is it? If it's not Maaser and it's not corrected produce, so what is it? It's still Tevel. So what you just did by giving 20% over to the Levi is you gave him a mixture of Maaser and Tevel. And that obviously is no good. So Elamai L'chmoshe Hein HaMaseifa. So the Gemara says, okay. So it sounds like pretty clearly that when looking at these figs and dried figs, We don't care in terms of how they are currently constituted. As long as they were the same size, that's significant. So the Gemara says, but grogoris ala ta'inim, bimida. If, let's say, I'm taking figs, dried figs, as my truma, and again, I'm using the word truma over here loosely, as my maaser, so then mida. Now we have to look at the volume. So the Gemara says, iyamar bishlama kamosha ain shapir. Volume. So if we're looking at the as they currently are constituted, so in other words, the dried figs are half the volume of the fresh figs, so then it makes perfect sense that I have to be giving it based on the volume. But iamar lechemo shehein marbe memasosu. But if we're looking at it as they were, so once again, that creates now a problem. Because the figs that I'm giving him, at one point, were twice the size as they are right now. So elahacha, so the Gemara says, okay, so this Mishnah is telling us that when I'm taking my figs, dried some of them, and some of them are still plump and moist, and I'm giving now, I'm taking off a section and giving it to the, right now I'm going to say Levi, because right now we're thinking that's talking about Meiser. So how do I do it? Do I do it based on count? Do I do it based on volume? And the Mishnah says it depends. If I'm giving him the plump figs, I do it based on count. If I'm giving him the dried figs, I do it based on volume. But in other words, but the confusing part is, well, how are we measuring? Are we measuring based on its current constituted state? Are we measuring it based on what it was in the past? And if we're measuring it based on what it was in the past, the problem, of course, is that the Mishnah over here is not giving us a consistent approach. Because sometimes do it by count, sometimes do it by volume. But in other words, they conflict with one another in terms of whether we're looking at it as it's currently constituted or as they were. And so all this obviously is confusing. And so the Gemara says, well, So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about Truma Gedola. Well, in other words, we're not talking about Maisa. The Gemara says, and what we basically want to do is we want to be as generous as we can to the Kohen. And as I explained a moment ago, by Truma Gedola. So how much do you give Truma Gedola? About 2%. But here, there's flexibility. 2% is a recommendation. You can give more, you can give less. And when you're giving to the Kohen, you should be as generous as you can. So if you're taking off the plump figs against the dried figs, so be generous. So in other words, do it by count. If you're giving the Kohen the dried figs against the plump figs, so be generous and therefore do it by volume. So ihachi emasefa amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosi Abba. I'm sorry, b'Rabbi Yosi Abba hayanotel eser groger shebimiksoa al tishim shebekelkala. So my father would give 10 against 90. 10 against 90, that's not Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is 2%, give or take. But if over here we're talking about 10 against 90, clearly that's Maisa Rishon. V'ibet Truma Gedola Eser, Maya Vidate, what are you talking about 10 against 90? So Allah HaKabishumas Maisa Askinan. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not talking about Meiser because then it would be too confusing in terms of how we're measuring, whether by count or by volume. We're not talking about Truma Gedola because in the Braisa we're talking about 10 for 90. 10 for 90 is clearly talking about 10%, and that's not Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is 2%, give or take. So what are we talking about? Trumas Meiser. Once I give the 10% over to the Levi, he then in turn has to give 10% of that to the Kohen. Now here, I'll ask the question, but I'm also going to give an answer. That 10% that goes from the Levi to the Kohen, is that just like Meiser, where it has to be exactly 10%? Or is that more like Truma, where even though the Torah says 10%, but give or take. In other words, it doesn't have to be exactly 10%. And what we're going to learn together is there is an opinion out there that says that Truma's Meiser is more like Truma, in that even though it's 10%, that's not a hard number. That's a recommendation. You can give more, you can give less.
Can I give less, give more?
By Truma, you can give less than 2%. So Elahacha, you're a generous person, so you don't even want to think about the alternative. But so Elahacha b'chum was ma'aser askinan, and v'Abba Elazar ben Gomel d'Tanya Abba Elazar ben Gomel Omer v'nechshav lachem shumaschem v'shtei shumasakasav medaber. The Torah in Parshas Korach, after the whole debate and after it was resolved and after Aaron is proven to be the Kohen, so then in the end of Parshas Korach they go over all the matnas kahuna, all the gifts that go over to a Kohen. And the pasuk over there says, V'nechshav lachem trumaschem. And I'm going to consider for you the Kohen that you're going to be receiving the trumaschem, the multiple trumas. What does that mean, multiple trumas? V'shtei trumas akasav medaber, achas truma gedol, v'achas truma meiser. Kishem tshu truma gedol, and he tells ba'omeid uv'machshava, kach trumas meiser, and he tells ba'omeid uv'machshava. So just like by Truma Gedola, it can be given be'omed, meaning estimation. You don't have to give an exact amount. Same thing is true with Trumas Meiser. It's an approximation. You don't have to give exactly 10%. And so therefore, what we could do now is this Mishnah we learned. First of all, I can now say it really clearly. The Mishnah says Tormin. And for a long time, we said, it doesn't mean Truma, it means Meiser. Although, admittedly, that was difficult. But now, no, it's talking about Truma, but what kind of Truma? Not Truma Gedola, the 2% taken from the farmer, but we're talking about the Trumas Meiser taken by the Levi. And we are subscribing to the opinion of Abba Elazar ben Gomel, who says that Trumas Meiser is going to behave just like Truma. Truma is an approximation. You don't have to give an exact amount. Trumas Meiser, the same thing. And so therefore, when I'm taking figs from figs, some are plump, some are dried, so what should I do? It doesn't have to be an exact amount. And when I say I mean the Levi, meaning the way we're explaining the Brisa right now, it's the Levi. The Levi doesn't have to give an exact amount. And in fact, you know what? You don't have to give an exact amount, and you should be generous. Meaning, if I'm giving the plump stuff, so then do it by count. The Kohen's going to be getting a lot more in volume. Great. Truma's Meiser. It's okay. And if you're giving him the dried figs, that's also fine, but then do it by volume. Because you want to be generous to the Kohen, you want to give it to him by volume. So over here, in the way we explain the Braisa, no longer does it play a role in our discussion of as is versus as was. We're talking about Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser does not have to be exact. And the basic idea of the mission is be generous to the Kohen. Give him a good amount. Give him a healthy amount. The Torah recommends 10%. Give him 10%. Give him more. Okay, Adkan. So on the, as a recap of today, a really, really fantastic daf. We talked in the beginning of the daf today about creating chimutz with meperos, with the fruit of liquid. And our Gemara says it's one of two options. Either it's chametz gomer or it's chametz nuksha. Superior chametz or inferior chametz. But it becomes chametz. The Gemara in Pesachim that says that meperos mixed together with flour does not become chametz at all. So I introduced us this morning to the opinion of Rabbi Natam. If it's just fruit juice, doesn't create chametz at all. If it's fruit juice and water, creates chametz. That's Rabbeinu Tam's understanding. Cautionary note in terms of whether or not we follow Rabbeinu Tam, but that's that was the opening of today. And the rest of today's daf was a long discussion about when measuring the volume of items. And items change in constitution from either going small to large or large to small. Do I look at it as it's currently constituted? Or do we go back historically to what it was originally? What we seem to have is a machlokas amongst Amoraim. Three Amoraim on one side, three Amoraim on the other side. Rabbah, however, seriously qualifies and modifies the entire debate, although Rabbah's understanding seems to be seriously impugned by the Gemara and by a Mishnah. And further discussion in terms of whether we look at the volume of as it is or as it was.